opportunities. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
جزاك الله خير مفتي صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ajr azim for that inspirational discussion on the life of the Sahaba, imparting this knowledge. عليكم بسنتي وسنت الخلفاء الراشدين. May Allah reward you. جزاك الله خير مفتي صاحب. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The second segment, Mufti Saab, self-imprisonment in Islam. Is this optional or a traditional thing during the last 10 days of fasting? Why do you guys imprison yourself in the mosque and go on a hunger strike? Are you all challenging God?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Thank you, my brother, sister, for that question. You see, the first 20 days, when we are fasting, then we are making manifest our love to Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. O Almighty Allah, I will not eat, I will not drink, I will not fulfill my lust and passion and desires with the spouse and so forth. Why? For your love, for your pleasure. Then when that love for Almighty Allah, there's an enhancement in it, increase in it. So now I'm saying, O Almighty Allah, I love my shop, my job, my wife, my children. I leave all that for your love. The love of Almighty Allah reigns supreme. And that is what the Quran Sharif teaches us. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. That the people who have true iman and faith, they're intensely in love with Almighty Allah. If you want reference of this verse, open chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, and verse number 165 of the Noble Quran. So it is an act of love. It's not an act of self-imprisonment. Why must a Muslim imprison himself? Why must a Muslim go on hunger strike? No. Today your scientists, your professors are saying that one professor won the Nobel Prize. When they asked him that how do you kill the cancer cells, then he said, my research has said that you have to be staying hungry for 25 days per year, and in that way, yeah, your cancer cells and so forth will be removed to a great extent. So Islam, we don't believe in that because these are all theories. We believe in what Almighty Allah said. That's 100% the truth. And that is, remember what Almighty Allah said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So you develop the quality of self-discipline. Not like the Jews and Americans and everybody else who want to murder and kill innocent people. So that is the greater reason why we fast. When you have the love for Almighty Allah, then you will learn the love for animals. You will love to learn for love for creation. You won't be stunning animals like you Westerners do and some Muslims do just for profit and money and so forth. So for you, your culture, everything is just rotates around money. And remember, everything else is secondary. Islam doesn't work like that. Islam works with mercy, compassion and love. So that is our message.
Sir, you have explained the meaning of haram last week. So in my eyes, everything that non-Muslims do is haram. So how do you guys have fun when all the places we recommend is haram? You only live once in this world. So when do you get a chance to enjoy this life which God has provided for you?
Your entertainment is what? Your entertainment is wine, dine and swine. So all your alcohol, Islam says, is haram and intoxicants. Your swine and your pork bangers and everything is haram. If I call you a pig, you will take offense. But if you want to eat the pork and the bacon and the ham and so forth, when you go and dine, you go and sleep with somebody's daughter, somebody's wife, so all that is your fun. So now when we look at it, that why is there so much mayhem, chaos on this earth? Because the policy you all have chosen. Our fun is this, that we have to pleasing Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, teaching the people what Almighty Allah taught us, what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That is the real state of ecstasy. That's the real state of happiness. Today's world, the secular world, the capitalistic world, world, and remember the world of democracy, all satanic systems. In America today, half the population is suffering from trauma and stress and what have you. In Israel, 90%, 80% of the people are suffering from stress. 6 months, they can't finish off Hamas, and Hamas is gaining the upper hand. Therefore, they are frustrated, and they murder the babies and innocent people and so forth. So we say one settler, one bullet, that will bring us great joy when we send the enemy straight to hell. So that brings us great joy. So the point here, my brother, is that Islam brought about such a system where we nourish our body and our soul. You only interested in your carnal desires and your body. Did you ever think of nourishment of the soul, your inner self? No. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. That behold, when you remember Almighty Allah Jalla wala, then they will find contentment, peace and satisfaction in the inner recess of the heart. So Islam is the only religion that brings that about, and all this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Allah bi dhikrillah. Dhikrillah will mean the remembrance of Allah, the obedience of Almighty Allah. So that is what we have to learn, my brother, that when you are remembering Almighty Allah, then only will you find the real joy and so forth. Otherwise, it's short-lived and everything. So why people commit so much suicide in your country, in your culture, in your system? Because they can't find the real enjoyment. Chapter 13, Surah Ra'ad and verse 28. And when you don't have that, then what will happen? وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دُنْكَى. When you turn away from the remembrance of Almighty Allah, your life will become miserable. Although to the world they might think you're enjoying yourself, but there's not enjoyment. If there was enjoyment, why are you committing suicide? Why are you going to the shrink and all these characters, the psychiatrists? Why are you suffering from such stress and so forth? Because it is a facade, it is just a show, but there's no inner satisfaction. So Almighty Allah states the opposite. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دُنْكَى. Chapter 20, verse 124. So my brother, try Islam, try fasting, try seclusion, all that, and then see the inner peace. For what people are embracing Islam? And your religion, nobody embraces. They're leaving Christianity, they're leaving Hinduism, they're leaving Judaism, because none of them are the truth. And you know that very well.
Sir, I'm asking, amongst the older male Indian men who roll up their pants above their ankles, it looks so untidy. Is this an Indian tradition from India? Because I don't see this in the newer generation. I'm afraid to tell the older people to roll their pants down, or rather cut it shorter. Looks so sloppy. Or can you rather advise them on your behalf?
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, but you asked a very good question. And we are entitled to ask whatever you want to. And that's why we open the lines for you. So Almighty Allah's kalam, his direct speech, which is our constitution. So Almighty Allah states, Ya Bani Adama khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O you children of Adam, that when you go to pray, so then take your beauty with you. Take respectable clothing with you. Don't come with crazy clothing and so forth and so on. So that is the problem today. Today, majority of Muslims have adopted the Falada policy of what? Razi rahe Rahman bi, khush rahe Shaitan bi. They want to please Almighty Allah, but at the same time, they want to please Satan, Lucifer and Shaitan. So Shaitan, Satan, Lucifer will be very pleased, but Almighty Allah won't be pleased. So for a male, remember in Islam, the garment, whether it is the long robe or whether it is the izar, the trouser, should be above the ankle. For the ladies, her garment should be below the ankles and so forth. forth. So therefore, prayer time, it's true, you will find this mostly in the Indians and so forth. Now they say, no, let me roll up my trouser and so forth for salat and so forth. So remember, but even out of salat, it is sinful and not permissible that. So that is the problem. So best thing for them is they must cut it. 100% is right, then it will be 100% right.
Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum. Hope you are well. My father passed away and did not leave a Shari will. But he had a will with the bank that stipulated that my mother was the sole heir to his estate. My father had two legitimate children, older brother and sister, from his previous marriage. My question is, are they entitled to receive anything from my father's estate? Does my mother have to bequeath anything to them?
Before I respond to this, let me just give you the reference of the previous one, that we should wear respectable clothing, more so when we go for prayers and salat and namaz. Chapter 7, verse 31. You, my brother, Allah Jalla Wala grant your father Jannat al-Firdaus, but according to Quran Sharif and according to Sunnah Mubarakah, he's in big problems. So you all must make special dua. Surah 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. When a Muslim person passes away, first we have burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. Somebody else want to pay, it's fine. The debts of the deceased must be paid, personal, corporate, business debts, immediately to the creditors. Third one will be wasiya for non-heirs, and then that will be maximum one-third of the net estate. And then the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. The way I understood your question is this. Your father passed away, there was no Islamic world, and the bank and he drew it up and what have you, and the sole heir he made is his wife, your mother. Absolutely haram. And see, this is Quran, therefore I'm telling you this is a very, very serious situation. You go read Quran yourself. Chapter 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah. And for your information, today in my tafsir lesson 105 to 130 on Radio Al-Ansar International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah Jama'ah, I'm starting the lesson on inheritance. So this week, the whole week will be on inheritance. So you must listen to it. It is of paramount importance. So chapter 4, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, whoever disobeyed Almighty Allah and His Messenger and he gave people more, deprived others. That's exactly what your father did. He deprived the sons, he deprived others, you understood, and whoever, so who I supposed to inherit, he gave everything to the wife, absolutely haram. Almighty Allah states, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Such people, Allah dispatches them to Jahannam for a very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And for such a person, there'll be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Allah protect us. So make abundant dua for your beloved father. Chapter 4, verse 14. Hadith Sharif, open the last hadith in the first part of Mishkat Sharif, where we discuss Kitabul Wasiyya and Miras and so forth. At the last hadith there, you will find Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qada'a miratha warithihi, qada'a Allahu mirathahu min al-jannah. Who deprives his heir of their rightful shares, Almighty Allah will deprive him, that person, of his share of paradise. So let us address and redress the situation. It's like this. The way I understood your question is one thing that I'm not 100% clear. You said your father got two legitimate sons. So what? Your father got illegitimate children also. So let me now explain to you. I hope the burial expenses are taken care of. The debts must be taken care of. So for that illegitimate child and so forth, remember, you can say that there was some agreement and you can make wasiya for the illegitimate child. Illegitimate child's lineage will go to the mother and not to the father if they are illegitimate children. Okay? So you can give something there, and from there, you want, the first thing you have to explain to your mother the consequences. For her to take all the entire estate is haram, she ends up in Jahannam, and your father also, Allah forbid. So it's ill-gotten gain. And then she must get 12.5%. And if there are only two sons and nobody else, no daughters, no other heirs, then your dada and dadi, meaning your paternal grandfather, grandmother, are deceased, then the remainder, 87.5%, will go to the two sons. And that is how it will work, and that's compulsory. After that, you, the sons, lovingly, willingly want to give it to your mother, stepmother, whatever, that is your prerogative. But initially, we have to do it this way. She is only entitled to 12.5%, 1/8, and the remainder residue must go to the two sons. And if there's an illegitimate child, then you can give some share wasiya there. So have a conference call and meeting and do it immediately. And you have to speak to your mother and show her chapter 4. Surah Nisa verse 14, and show her the last hadith in the chapter of inheritance in Mishkat Sharif, and show her the ramifications, consequences. Last question, Mona.
AK, we are all God's children. Why do you differentiate us over others? I believe every religion is equal. Why give only preference to Islam?
My brother, when you bought a Mercedes, you bought a BMW, you bought a Toyota, Nissan, but you had the money to buy other cars also. So why did you choose one? Will you not say then all cars are equal? Will you not say all houses are equal? Will you not say that all the things in this world are equal? Obviously, you will not say that. So you make your own choice. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala created us in chapter 2 and verse number, remember, 256. Almighty Allah taught us that La ikraha fi deen. That there is no compulsion in religion. This applies to non-Muslims. You can choose what you want to. I'm asking you, you're supposed to be a sane and a mature person. Can you say Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, and Satanism is the same? Can you say that? I'm asking you. That the atheist say he believes in Satan, and you say you believe in Jesus, the Jews say that, whatever. Will you say it's equal? You also will not say that. So Islam itself tells us that Islam, God Almighty Allah, has given human being the freedom of choice. But in life, you have to learn to make the right choice. When you make the right choice, then that is the path of salvation. So if I pose these three questions to you, you are a Christian, you are celebrating Easter, but what is your Easter? It's all lies. Go and see the Bible, Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. 3 days, 3 nights, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, and Jesus, according to you Christians, we reject all this with the contempt it deserves. So supposed to be 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb, in the belly of the earth, like how Jonah was in the belly of the fish. So he was then buried, according to you, Friday night, there in the Holy Sepulchre, Saturday night, Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene came. So then to anoint him, he was not there. So it was 2 nights and 1 day. So where is your Easter? Where is your Christmas? All lies over 25th December. Go look in Luke and chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Summertime he was born, Jesus, peace be upon him. Not winter time. December is winter time in Palestine, in Bethlehem. If you ask the Jew, so even they know they're going to hell. They are the chosen people, 100% chosen people. For what? For hell. Remember, because they said that they can murder anybody, they can steal from anybody, they can occupy anybody's land, and you can see what they are doing, and they will justify it through the Torah and their crooked rabbis. If you ask the Hindu, they don't even know which God they're believing in. If you ask the Hindu, tell me who's lingam, the male organ. You ask them, who is yoni, the female organ. Ask them, who is your Ganeshi, then is the elephant. These are all idols in this form and shape. If you ask them, you must remember who's Ganpati. So he is, you must remember, they remember that the rats and the mice and what have you. Go ask them who's Hanuman, is a monkey. In this day and this age, can you accept people worshipping all these things? I'm asking you. So Islam is the only religion, remember. And everywhere in the world, that is why they attack Islam and they want to hijack Islam and they want to call us terrorists, because only we have the magnet, and therefore you are gravitating towards this magnet, so therefore you wake up early, my brother. You got your answer? May Almighty Allah guide me, guide you, and guide all humanity towards justice and peace and Islam. Jazakallah khairan, Mawsalim Kareem. And inshallah, we'll send out the podcast after 7 o'clock today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.